welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at redrock_bball, facebook.com/redrockbasketball, and of course, email address redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com. Back for another one of the Season in Review podcasts. We're talking Orlando Magic today.
Call it magic. Call it true.
Now, if you listened to yesterday's Philadelphia 76ers podcast, me and Matt alluded to a couple of things about the Magic, and I will get into that, but they're definitely a team with a lot of exciting players. And, you know, there's a couple of my men on that team that I like to give a couple of nicknames to, in Toby Harris and Lord Alfred Payton, which we will get into in due course. But this team, they definitely underachieved. Fired Jacque Vaughn during the season. They're still looking for a new coach. We hear the whispers about Scott Skiles coming on board. He was a former Orlando Magic legend during their initial stages, one of the team's founding members. He's a good coach for a short amount of time. What he does to their fantasy value remains to be seen, but he's not a great offensive mind. I think that's pretty safe to say. So any hope of any of these guys developing more of their offensive game is probably not great. And there are already a lot of good defenders on this team anyway. So the addition of Scott Skiles is not a great sign for fantasy. I don't think it's a massive deal. I don't think it's a big, it's a huge minus Scott Skiles is coaching, but it's not like Mike D'Antoni signing on to coach or anything along those lines where we're going to see huge upticks in production and all that sort of stuff. It's not going to be anywhere near that sort of thing. Let's get straight into this Orlando Magic team and let's talk about, hey, what they maybe can do. I think that's the best way of putting it, because there is a lot of potential here, and there's a lot of really important players for fantasy leagues. That's the thing about this team that gets you excited, because there's a number of guys. Let's start in the backcourt, and let's start with Lord Alfred Payton, a rookie who played all 82 games, which is not something that happens for rookies very often, and one of those rookies who played all 82 games and got better and better as the season went on. He wasn't someone who tired out. He was stronger and stronger. He had back-to-back triple-doubles in March, actually. And his overall season numbers, they don't look overly impressive. Almost 9 points, 4.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists, over 1.5 steals. The 43% field goal percentage is about 5% higher than I thought he would shoot. The 55% from the line is about what you expect. And his rankings sort of reflect those numbers. When you have a look at what he was able to do for the season, as a head-to-head player, he was a great option, especially that second half of the season. Overall, though, 62nd he ranked. That's great. Per game, 100th. Fantastic. But where we really start to look at when he came of age, post-All-Star break, 50th ranked player. Last month of the season, 18th ranked player. That's where his value lies. Now, in Roto, it's almost a 50-point difference in terms of his ranking. 62 in head-to-head, 111 in Roto, and it's because of those shocking percentages. And as he gets more involved and more comfortable, the attempts will go up. He only took 2.6 free throw attempts per game, so that'll likely go up. Now, his shooting percentage might go up, but he's going to become more of a detriment to your team in the free throw percentage as he takes more of them. He's also not a threat to shoot three-pointers at all. He's basically Rajon Rondo. He's not scoring. He's getting a ton of assists. He's getting rebounds. He's getting steals and shooting bad percentages. Now, he's probably more likely to score definitely than what Rondo is at the moment. The likelihood of Payton going out and averaging 15 points is probably higher than the likelihood of Rondo doing that at this stage in their career. But there is obviously a lot to be worried about with him in fantasy, and you need to be prepared for what he's able to do. Now, his numbers, I said that his scoring could go up. The last month, he averaged 11.6 points. That's up from 8.9 during the season. He was 6 rebounds, 9 assists, 2.7 steals. They're crazy good numbers. But the most encouraging thing over that time is his field goal percentage was 46%. His free throw percentage was 73%. So that's massive. It's really, really huge. And if he can maintain, he's not going to maintain 46% from the field most likely, although he was a 50% shooter in college, mainly because all it was layups and dunks and things at the rack. But if he gets stronger and more able to get to the rack, then he won't have to take jumpers. And that's, the NBA doesn't want people to take jumpers, really. That's considered a bad shot, and it's an even worse shot for someone like Payton. So if he can get to the rim and do that more comfortably and shoot that higher percentage, then that's obviously helping fantasy leagues. But don't expect him to be shooting 46% next season for the course of the season. A 43% sort of season is probably about right, with maybe a 60% free throw. But he's going to be taken in every single league. He's got some significant dynasty value, but beware, there is the Rajon Rondo factor, like I mentioned. Points, threes, they're not going to be big things for him. field goal percentage, free throw percentage, they're not going to be helpful. Again, they're just things that they're not going to give you. So in Roto, he's probably someone I don't really love, although he does have value, obviously, but he's not someone I'm taking where he's going to be drafted, which is likely going to be top 70. Those other leagues, head-to-head leagues, though, if you're focusing on what he brings you, and that's elite rebounding as a point guard, great assist, big steal numbers, then he's going to be a good option. And I keep referencing back to Rajon Rondo. He'll be a better option than Rajon Rondo. I'd be taking him over Rondo in pretty much any draft there was next season, irrespective of where Rondo lands. I think that Payton will be in for a much bigger season than what Rondo is. The other point guard on the roster, Luke Ridnour. Now, Luke Ridnour, he started a few games at the start of the season, but he was there as insurance. But he still signed on for next season. We don't need to be too concerned about him from a fantasy perspective, though. His rankings were low. They did improve towards the end of the season. 322 and 328 per game. But yeah, the last month we're looking at 217, which is not a big number. It's not a great number. But it showed that he got a little bit more playing time. 4 points, 2 assists per game. He's deep, deep league stuff. That's not going to change, especially with Payton getting... He only played 30 minutes a game, Alfred Payton. He will likely get more minutes. Plus, my boy Evan Fournier is still around. And you know what I think of Evan Fournier, who I will get into in a second. But Luke Ridnour, I'd imagine his numbers drop. He only played the 14 minutes or 15 minutes a game. That will likely go down as Payton's numbers go up. And hopefully if Fournier is healthy. Now, in the backcourt, Victor Oladipo is he's the man on this team. I think me and Matt talked about him yesterday. He is a guy that I think that you will have to draft in the top 30, but I think he's got legit top 20 potential. That's where he can go. Now, his numbers this season, he had an interrupted preseason. He had the facial fracture. He had a knee injury. Came back. He didn't really start cranking it up until January, but the numbers are fantastic. Even his whole season numbers are great. 18 points, over a three, over 4 rebounds, over 4 assists, over 1.5 steals. They're good numbers. He improved his field goal percentage up from 42 to 44. His free throws up from 78 to 82. So just improvement across the board. Heading into his third season, you'd expect more of that sort of thing to happen. We look at his last month of action, or his last 2 months, 20 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 1.8 steals. There's some really, really good numbers, and that's who he is. He's going to be a 25-5 sort of guy. That's where his numbers, he could be a 25-5, 1.5 threes, 2 steals type of player. That is definitely not out of consideration, and that is a top 20 player. I mentioned his ranking overall, total value, 44, and that's because he missed games. He missed 10 games at the start of the season, but didn't even get back to being himself for a few more after that. Post-All-Star, the 20th ranked player. That's about right to me, and if you really believe in his talent, which you can definitely believe in his talent, I wouldn't be against taking him at the end of the second, start of the third round, because I think he will still exceed that value and probably give you, if he has a healthy season, which we all hope, I think he could be a guy who gives you that top 20 value pretty comfortably, maybe a 16, 17 sort of rank. I think he's going to be, I can't say he's going to be underrated because I don't know where everyone else is going to rate him at this stage, but I anticipate big things for Oladipo. It'll help with Payton getting more comfortable as well. That'll help Victor Oladipo play off the ball some more as well, and just a season of these two guys meshing together. I think there's some big things in store for Victor Oladipo. Big, big numbers, and that's what it's going to be. Points, threes, rebounds, assists, steals. He even throws in half a block a game. He did that post-All-Star break, half a block a game as well, as a point guard, shooting guard type player. And that improvement in his free throw percentage has been key as well. So I think that he is going to... Nikola Vucevic was their best player this year from a fantasy perspective. It won't be next season. I think Oladipo will be the 45th ranked per game, but it's that 20th ranked post-All-Star that really makes a difference. And that coincides with Lord Alfred picking up his game as well. And those two working together, I think, is going to be a key factor. Let's get on to the other shooting guards or combo guards, and that's Evan Fournier, who started the season in place of Lord Alfred. Well, he got himself accustomed to the league. He had some really, really solid form early on, but drifted. I think that's fair to say. He lost his touch. He lost his ability to shoot to a degree, and in the end, it just wasn't an impressive season. 12 points in 29 minutes, 1.5 threes, but only 2.5 rebounds, 2 assists, 0.7 steals, 44 and 73 percentages. So nothing really stands out. The scoring is nice. The three-pointers are nice, but he can assist better than that. He can be more of a distributor. He's going to be stuck in a third guard off the bench role for this season. That's going to restrict him to deeper type leagues. If you look at his numbers from last season, they're not fantastic. Per game, 197th. And I think that means... I was going to say that's about where he'll be. I reckon he can be a little bit better than that. He is still only young, and he's someone that I do like a lot. I think he can be a 14-team league player. But if you're in a dynasty or anything smaller than that, in a 12-team dynasty or a 10-team dynasty, I don't think there's much value in Evan Fournier. I don't think he's going to jump up, especially with Oladipo and Lord Alfred ahead of him. What he did do, though, is down the stretch, the last month of the season, Evan Fournier was the 48th-ranked player. Now, we can look at those numbers and go, yeah, look, Evan Fournier, the last month, he's ranked 48th. He only played two games, and that's why. But they were good games. 14.5 points, 2.5 threes, 4 rebounds. Great hot shooting. And he can get hot, and he can stay hot for sustained periods. So don't read into that too much. The 48 looks great, but it is only two games of sustainability. But he did that. Yeah, that 14.5 points, 2.5 threes was in 23 minutes. So he can have value. He'll be someone that you're not drafting in 12-team leagues, but you'll be picking up in 12-team leagues on and off during the season. That I have no doubt of. The other two shooting guards on this team are two older players, two guys who I couldn't believe were getting minutes ahead of guys like Fournier, and that is Willie Green and Ben Gordon. Green is an unrestricted free agent. I think it's unlikely he's back with this team. Ben Gordon signed one of the more inexplicable contracts last season. Almost probably the only competition was Channing Frye, his teammate. $9 million for 2 years. He's got 1 year left at $4.5 million, and he just was not good at all. Per game, 379th. The last month, 275th. There's just nothing that's good about Ben Gordon anymore. It's just, there's nothing. He only played 14 minutes a game for $4.5 million. That's a pretty cushy job if you can get it. 6 points, nothing else whatsoever. The rankings are just not ideal. 379th per game. Willie Green, the other guy, 353rd per game. They both stepped it up a little bit in the last month when the Magic started playing a little bit better. 275 for Gordon, 255 for Green, but there's no reason to think these guys are going to get any better. I can't see any situation in where Ben Gordon and Willie Green become key members of the Orlando Magic next season. Let's look at another guy who's more of a swingman that can play the two and the three. Devin Marble, a second-round rookie. He had his opportunities at times during the season when there was a ton of injuries. Oladipo was struggling. Toby Harris was out. Actually, he even started over Toby Harris, which was one of the more baffling decisions. We'll get into that when we talk Harris a little bit later. But Marble played some games, 16 of them, started some of them. It didn't really do anything all that exciting. While he was starting and getting minutes, he was someone to look at on a streaming basis. But his per-game numbers at 455th, it doesn't give you a huge amount of hope. With other guys sort of playing his position like Oladipo, Fournier is there. The potential they draft someone on the wing in this draft, maybe a Justice Winslow type player, Mario Hezonja. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. I'm pretty sure I'm not. But there's another guy that could potentially cut into his minutes, as well as Mo Harkless still being around. I just don't see the opportunity for Devin Marble to really become a great player. He's a pretty good defender, and in only 13 minutes a game, he got 0.6 steals, which is impressive. There's no doubting that. But that's really the only area he excelled in. Yeah, shot 32% from the field, 31% from the free throw line. There's no dynasty value in Devin Marble. Small forwards. Before I get into Toby Harris, I want to talk Mo Harkless, because this was one of the dumbest things to me of the end. There was two dumb things that happened during the season, and I associate them both with the Magic. One of them is the fact that Mo Harkless couldn't get any game time. I did not understand that at all. I thought that he should have been getting minutes over Devin Marble, over Ben Gordon, over Willie Green. He is a guy, I'm not going to say he's an elite defender, but he's an above average defender. I think that's fair to say. And just couldn't get any sort of game time. He played 24 minutes a game the year before, 15 this season. He only played 45 games, and that's not injury based. That's because Jacques Vaughn didn't play him. Just refused to play him. Healthy scratches after healthy scratch after healthy scratch. Last season, again, 7.4 points, 3.3 rebounds, an assist, over a steal, half a block. He couldn't get near those numbers this year. 3.5, 2.5 rebounds, half a steal, 7.7 blocks, 0.2 steals. He suffered a regression in his shooting. That's not a great season from Mo Harkless at all, which is disappointing because I thought he was showing signs of becoming a partial breakout player. Now, he's still on his rookie contract next season, and then he'll be a restricted free agent after that. But the numbers don't give us any inspiration. With a new coach potentially in town, we could see a bit of a revival from Mo Harkless. So if you're in a dynasty league, I'd be throwing bottom value guys at him. Look how crap Mo Harkless was. Look how bad he was. Give it to him. Give him to me for nothing. You know, my second rookie draft pick, my whatever garbage player I've got, I'd be trying to snaffle him because there's a lot of fantasy potential in there. A guy who can get threes, rebounds, blocks, some decent scoring, and some great steal numbers if he's giving an opportunity. And in a deep dynasty league, if he gets 23, 24 minutes off the bench, there's definitely some value there. But he suffered a lot because I think it was a confidence thing, that his confidence was shattered by the fact that he wasn't playing. Never seemed to be any real explanation for it. Or at least not publicly anyway. It was a strange one. So Mo Harkless is a guy that I like targeting in dynasty formats for very, very cheap. I'm not saying throw anything great at him, but if someone's like, Mo Harkless, he's crap, he's garbage, what'd he do, 15 minutes a game and 3 points? If someone is of that mindset, I think there's a little bit to be gained from maybe targeting that owner. The other small forward who had, I was going to say, an instance of confusion, but that's not even the one I was referencing earlier, Toby Harris, who started off the season absolutely on fire, cooled down when he suffered an injury. He's been a notoriously slow healer, had that ankle problem, but did come back and ended up putting up relatively similar numbers. But you look at his numbers, they're almost career best. Well, they pretty much are career best figures. 17 points, almost 1.5 threes, 6.5 rebounds, a steal, half a block, 47 and 79 is his percentages. They're very good numbers. They're very, very good numbers. As a Roto player, he was superb. The 40th ranked player in my Roto rankings. He's head-to-head at 79. And just steady all the way. Post-All-Star, 78. Last month, 84. He was getting decent production. And you could rely on him. He'd be their best scorer at a lot of the time. He'd hit those threes. He'd get you some rebounds. You know I love me some Toby Harris. The thing is that when he had that ankle injury, when he came back, they just played him off the bench for too long, and it did affect his confidence at times during the season. He did get back in vogue with the coaching staff and play some more minutes, which is obviously great. But that's interesting to me for next season. He's a restricted free agent. We've been hearing lots of whispers about how he wants out, how he's interested in going to New York. If he goes to New York, he's going to be a potential top 50 fantasy player. I would say he would play the 4 next to Melo. He's a 3, but he's also a 4. Or other way around, he plays the 3 and Melo plays the 4. I think if he goes to New York, he's a top 50 talent, because there's just not that many players in New York who can take the numbers off him. If he stays in Orlando, I imagine he's still a top 100 pick. You're going to be able to, you have to take him earlier than you did last season, so that might price him out for a lot of people, because he was He was an interesting guy, because at the start of the season, I was like, Toby Harris, Harris is going crazy. Look how great he is. The end of the season, this guy's garbage. Do I drop him? And neither of them were really the truth. He wasn't a top 30 player like he showed at the start. He wasn't a guy who was droppable in standard leagues like we saw at the end, or what some people assumed at the end. Well, not the end, more that sort of just after the All-Star break time period, January, that sort of January, February time period. People were going, yeah, this guy maybe not so good. We need to get rid of him. They're not playing him. All that sort of stuff. He picked it up, he played big minutes, and he put up big stats. Where he ends up isn't going to be an interesting situation. If he goes in restricted free agency, which is a huge possibility, the Magic might bring in someone like Justice Winslow, but that also might open up that opportunity for Mo Harkless with a new coach who goes, let's not pay the money to Toby Harris. Let's use Mo Harkless. I like him. He can play 30 minutes. Winslow can come in and play 24, 25 minutes off the bench. And we've got ourselves a really solid defensive wing combination with Oladipo, Harkless, and Winslow. That's definitely a possibility with this team. So watch this space for Toby Harris, and where he goes is going to have a big impact on his ranking. But he's going to be a fantasy factor for a number of seasons to come, I would think, because he does put up numbers. He points, rebounds, good percentages, three-pointers. There's a lot to like about Toby Harris. Now, the Magic had 2 lottery picks last season. One of them was Aaron Gordon. I didn't like the pick at all when they picked him at pick 4. Yeah, he was athletic. That's fine. I just didn't know if he had any skills that were going to translate all that well to the NBA. I think he impressed me more than I thought he would. It doesn't necessarily mean he did a huge amount, but his per 36 numbers come out looking all right. 11 points, 7.5 rebounds. He even hit half a 3 a game, a block, a steal, 45 from the field, 72 from the line. I did not expect him to shoot 72% from the line. He was a guy who was thinking he's a 50-55% shooter. So his percentages from the line were a lot more impressive than I anticipated. The fact that he was hitting a three, even though it was at 27%, impressed me as well. The numbers on the surface aren't great. You know, per game, 323rd. The last month, 265. So he didn't have that big burst throughout the season. And a lot of that is that Jacques Vaughan just, honestly, he just had no idea what he was doing with that front court rotation. If you're going to be playing, or if you're not going to be playing the guys you should be playing, like Kylo Quinn, don't play Spuds like some of the other guys that they play. Don't give Channing Frye minutes when he's doing nothing. Develop Gordon. Don't give them to Dwayne Dedman, who we're going to get into a little bit later on. There's a lot that they could have done with that position or with his development that I think that they failed to do. Now, Dynasty Leagues, I think because he was the fourth overall pick, you're going to have to pay a premium to acquire him. I wouldn't be trying to do that. If you're having a Dynasty startup, I think that his value will be pretty low. So I think there's a bit there. He can rebound. He's a steal. He could be easily a steal and a block per game guy with seven rebounds and half a three. That's easily something. Well, he hit half a three a game this season. That is easily something that he can do. So you might be able to get him at a little bit of a discount in startup Dynasty League. So keep an eye on Aaron Gordon. And remember, he's young. He was the youngest player, I think, maybe outside of Dante Exum in last year's draft. Really, really young. A lot to develop. We could be seeing the best Aaron Gordon in 2 or 3 years, 4 years' time. Not necessarily next season. I don't expect big things from him next season. That's a question that brings me to a question from Facebook, who came from Emre Durmaz. Speaking of Dwayne Dedman, does Dedman get minutes when with Gordon healthy, and what happens to O'Quinn? I didn't even mention that Gordon suffered that foot stress fracture. We thought he was going to be out for the season. He did happen to come back and play through it, so that was a good sign. Now, does Dedman get minutes with Gordon healthy? In an ideal world, you'd say no, because you'd want to think that they're giving minutes to their number 4 overall draft pick, not Dwayne Dedman. Last year, that wasn't the case, but it's a different coaching staff, or it's likely going to be a different coaching staff. So I would say that first crack goes to Gordon and Fry, and Dedman is the backup behind Vucevic. So I think that Dedman's minutes will be limited. Now, there was an article on the website written by Kevin Lappin a couple of weeks ago about Dwayne Dedman, saying that his numbers are eerily similar to what Rudy Gobert was able to do if he was given the opportunity. That doesn't mean that we're going and grabbing Dwayne Dedman in the top 100 of drafts or anything like that, but his per 36 numbers are very impressive. If there was ever a situation where Vucevic goes down for a long period of time and Dedman has to be the starting center, he could put up really impressive rebound, block numbers, field goal percentage type numbers. Emre's other part of the question is, what happens to O'Quinn? Well, they just seem to hate Kylo Quinn this season. He had a great season the year before, put up fantastic numbers down the stretch, was blocking a shot pretty much every game after the All-Star break when he started in place of Toby Harris for a lot of that season. This season just couldn't get it going. Wasn't even when he started, he'd play 15, 20 minutes, if that. And he just didn't get minutes. He played 16 minutes a game, 6 points, 4 rebounds, 0.6 steals, 0.7 blocks. When you look at it, you go, what's that? That's they're garbage numbers. Per 36, they're fantastic. 12.8 points, 8.7 rebounds, 1.5 steals, 1.7 blocks, half a three, and his percentages of 49 and 77 are fantastic. And that's why I would love Kylo Quinn. I think there's a lot of value. As a per 36 player, he ranked 114th, which is impressive. His per game value at 225, I think, would belie what a lot of people think was what his value was. They would have said, yeah, he was a failure, he was terrible. But 18-team leagues, there was value there, even though he wasn't utilized as he should have been, only playing the 51 games. And I think what a lot set him back as well, he had a big first game of the season and got injured and then missed a stack of time. About 4 or 5 weeks he missed with an ankle problem that just seemed to be lingering and lingering. And I wouldn't be surprised if that contributed to a lot of his substandard minutes, maybe. He just wasn't physically right, and that taking him out of action for that first part of the season, I think, really cost Kylo Quinn. Now, the thing is that he is a restricted free agent. They've got Channing Frye on a big deal. They've got Aaron Gordon, who they selected with the fourth pick. They've got Dedman, who showed some decent things. I think they want O'Quinn back. I think they would like to get him back at a cheap deal, but if I'm another team, I'm offering Kylo Quinn a pretty decent contract and trying to snag him away, because I think there's a lot of potential with him. I think there's a lot. I'm not saying this just because he's got a great beard. I think there's a lot of potential in Kyler Quinn. They'd love to have him back, but the front court is crowded, and the minutes for him won't be there if he comes back to Orlando to have significance in fantasy leagues outside of 16 teams. Channing Frye, let's move on to him, because he was a big disappointment. Now, he played a lot of games, didn't play them very well, after signing that big four-year, $32 million contract. So he's got 3 years left at $24 million. He played 25 minutes a game, 7 points, 3.9 rebounds, half a block, half a steal, 39% from the field, 89% from the line. Now, you know that Channing Frye is going to be a great free throw shooter. You know he's going to be a great three-point shooter. He hit 1.8 a game in only 25 minutes. That's fantastic. And if you owned him for that, a three-point specialist who doesn't hurt your free throw percentage and can chip in some blocks occasionally, more power to you. He just doesn't live up to that sort of contract. His roto value and head-to-head value were almost identical, 149 for head-to-head leagues, 148 for roto leagues. Per game, 188. It's definitely outside of the scope of 10-team leagues, 12-team leagues, maybe 14-team leagues. That's about where his value lies. And I think, again, it all depends on the new coaching staff. They're going to want to get Aaron Gordon involved. So it's going to be Gordon and Frye splitting those minutes, and it's going to be hard to own either of them in standard leagues. Dynasty leagues, his start is falling. I don't think he's going to get back to those sort of numbers we saw from him in Phoenix. It's just going to turn out to be a fairly bad contract, I think. Well, it already looks like a fairly bad contract. I don't see it really improving for Channing Frye. Andrew Nicholson's another power forward they had on their roster. He's not good. I don't think there's any redeeming features about him. 5 points, 2 rebounds, 0.3 threes, not a lot else, not good percentages, 406 per game. That probably says enough about Andrew Nicholson. Two guys left to really talk about here on this Orlando Magic team. One of them is Nikola Vucevic. Now, he was great. I think that's fair to say. The 22nd ranked player in head-to-head leagues, the 26th ranked player in roto leagues, per game at 25. Definitely tailed off, though. That's the thing that's a little bit concerning. He tailed off down the stretch. Now, one good thing, there's plenty of good things, but he played 74 games, which is more than he's played in his career. He'd been a guy who'd get injured all the time, play 60 games, 64 games, that sort of thing. He averaged 19 points, 11 rebounds, 0.7 steals, 0.7 blocks, 52 and 75 his percentages. You can see what stands out there. The fact that it's a lack of blocks from a center. 0.7 doesn't cut it. He's still a young guy. We saw Jonas Valanciunas increase his block numbers significantly this season. Vucevic could have that potential to break out and become even if it's a 1.3 blocks a game guy, that makes him much more valuable. And he can be a 2010 guy. He was 19 and 11 this season. If he gets those blocks up to 1.2, 1.5, we're talking easily a top 20 player. As I mentioned, he did slow down a little bit down the stretch post All-Star break, the 43rd ranked player. But there's no reason that Vucevic is going to escape the top 30 next season. I think for sure you'll be taking him and Oladipo inside the top 30 next season. They got him in the Dwight Howard deal, along with Mo Harkless. I think they'd be very happy with what they've seen from him, especially offensively. He's a monster on the boards. He started off the season absolutely on fire, just pulling down rebounds, scoring the ball a lot. He doesn't have an outside shot at all, but he's a really impressive post presence. Probably their best offensive player. Maybe Toby Harris was their best offensive player, but he was their leading scorer, leading rebounder as well. And those percentages are fantastic for fantasy leagues also. That 75% from a center from the free throw line can be invaluable. The other guy, last guy left, is Dwayne Dedman. I touched on him a little bit earlier. Now, when I talk about Dwayne Dedman, he played 14 minutes a game, 3.7 points. But what you need to look at is the fact that in 14 minutes, he had 5 rebounds a game, 0.8 blocks a game, and shot 56% from the field. There's some good numbers. You look at his per 36 numbers, it's 9 points, but 12.5 rebounds, 0.7 steals, 2.1 blocks. That's where we say, now you're talking, now there's something happening here. He didn't play enough minutes to get into the rankings for the per 36 stuff, but there's enough there. You go, if something happens to Vucevic, he is going to be their center. We saw that he played a lot this season next to Vucevic, in place of Vucevic. He started more games than probably what you thought he should have. And he was able to pull down rebounds in bunches. And that's one of his key abilities. He's just pulling down rebounds and blocking shots. If you're in a deeper league, there's a little bit to say for him. I don't think you should be taking a flyer on him in standard leagues. I don't think there's any need for that. But if injury to Vucevic does happen, I think that Dwayne Dedman becomes a very, very interesting player who will pull down rebounds and will get you blocks. He's on a very cheap contract next season as well. The Magic's overall contract situation, only one guy on unrestricted free agent, that's Willie Green, and two restricted free agents, Toby Harris and Kyle Quinn. I would imagine that one of those two guys leaves. It will most likely be Toby, by my estimations. I think they'll try to bring O'Quinn back, but I don't reckon that there's any situation that would seem stupid if both of those guys left. But the core of their team is pretty much locked up, with the exception of Harris. And now they've got that top five pick in the NBA draft. A couple of questions that come in. Andy Harrington asked me a couple here. Which player will take the biggest step next year? It's Oladipo to me. I touched on that before. I think that he becomes a top 20 fantasy talent. He could be a fringe all-star candidate. I'd say there's a massive chance he's an all-star next season. So I think that he's going to take the biggest step. And will adding a top-tier rookie have a fantasy impact on the other players? I think at pick five, who's there, I don't think it's going to really have much of an impact on Oladipo or Payton or Vucevic or Harris, for that matter. I don't think that whoever they pick in that position is going to have much of an impact on their fantasy values. Midnight Walker asked me a question as well, who's on Twitter at KingMidnight60. Who do you think that they could bring in to help the bench? I don't necessarily, as I said, they don't really have much in terms of, not needs, but their roster's pretty full up. They've got those three guys who are potentially out of contract, but if Harkless plays more minutes, he's a very good bench option. Fournier on the bench is great. Kyle Quinn could be coming back. You've got Dwayne Dedman on the bench. I think the bench is I don't think that's much of their concern. I think they've got a really strong, solid young core, that the improvement is going to come from within. I don't really see them going out and signing many players. Now, Willie Green is likely gone, so they might be looking for someone as a shooter to play off the bench behind Oladipo and alongside Fournier in that second unit. So they'll be looking for an unrestricted free agent as a shooter, maybe, but no one that's really going to be too exciting. Their bench has got potential. It's lacking offensively. I think that's fair to say, but there's a number of talented players who... It's not like where I look at these other rosters like the Knicks and I go, half of these guys don't belong on an NBA roster. I look at these Magic guys and go, yeah, I can see this guy's got something to offer. This guy's got something to offer. This guy's got something to offer. They're very not exciting, but let's just say I like turning on and watching Orlando Magic game. I don't like doing the same with the Knicks. There's something to watch with a lot of these players from the Orlando Magic. All right, that's it for today's podcast covering the Orlando Magic. Now, I am going to be trying something a little bit different today. I'm going to start releasing some YouTube videos. So I'd appreciate if you guys could head across to YouTube and subscribe to the YouTube channel, share it, like it, all that sort of stuff. Give it a thumbs up, leave some comments on it. Let me know what you think. Obviously, it's going to be a bit of a work in progress, tweaking all this sort of stuff, but I'm going to be releasing some YouTube videos. So help me out and subscribe to the YouTube channel. I will put links out on social media, and I'll put them in the show notes when it's all set up. So make sure you check that out. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.